I don't know. I don't know what to, I'm just going to push the button and make it go, because I don't know what else to do. I'm just going to push it and go. Here we go. Here we go. The news according to me. By the way. Had a little bit of a technical issue there for a second. Not sure exactly what was going on there. All right, folks. Hey, it is Tuesday, August 4th, 9:25 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Got the show rolling here. We got the bots on board. We got everything happening. It's all going down now. It's all going to happen now. We have, of course, there's the background stuff that always happens. Guys, I'm going to shut that off for now. I'm tired of that happening. All this mail coming in. People trying to get a hold of me. People sending me all kinds of Blackwood Tea Company. I don't know. The Vietnamese tea ritual. What is that about? Yeah, a bunch of other stuff on there. Anyway. Hey, folks, it is Technical Tuesday, Technology Tuesday, is what we call it here in the biz. Here at the studio, I'm at the home studio this morning, and I'm not at the main worldwide headquarters. I have not been at the worldwide headquarters for a while. I'm probably going to be there tomorrow. It's a good possibility. I got some things to do there tomorrow. Actually, I got some stuff to do there today. I'll probably do it today, and then I'll head over there tomorrow to do the show. Just because I got to get some other things done. It's kind of tough for me to get over there. There's a whole lot of things need to be done there. It's cleaning up and mowing, all that kind of stuff. There's just a whole lot of stuff that's growing. Just this year, stuff has just grown like crazy this year. I had stuff cut back pretty good, and then it just kind of took over. So I'm just never home. It's the problem. I live half my life away from home, which is hard to get anything done. It's hard to, by the time you, anyway, get home, turn around, and go leave again. I think I'm going to be home for about a week, and then I'm going to be gone for 4 days, and then back again for another month. So I'll be home a lot here in the next little while. So I'll hopefully get some things done for them. Plus, we've got a little bit of vacationing to do, a little traveling to do. I've got a lot of things to clean up. Anyway, trying to get some things done today. I'm going to start another. By the way, this show doesn't have any sponsors, but I do have this thing called a podcast caller, podcastcaller.com. It's a little software thing I invented myself, built it myself. With the help of, of course, AI helped me do it, but. What it does is it has this little thing where, people, if you haven't ever seen the show before, if you're tuning in because it's Technical Tuesday, I'm talking about it a little bit. We have Mishmash Monday, which is just kind of political stuff and whatever's on the new, in the news. Whatever happened over the weekend, we talk about a little bit. And then Tuesdays, more technical stuff, more technology, usually AI stuff. And Wednesday's Wishy-Washy Wednesday. Thursday's Theological or Theoretical Thursday. And then Friday is Financial Friday. We talk about financial stuff. I am not, of course, any kind of doctor or lawyer. We'll have a little song about that in just a couple minutes. But in the meantime, that's the closest you're going to get to a sponsor on this show. I don't have a sponsor. Now, I just bring that up because we're going to start a show, another podcast called the Podcast Caller Show. It's going to be about the podcast caller. Finally getting some things wrapped up with that. I've also got a new app that I just came up with, just built it yesterday, just finished. Well, it's not finished. It's in the testing process now where you can connect all of your AI agents together and they can communicate with each other and you can see them communicating rather than, it's your own personal kind of internet network kind of thing. It's not a public thing. It's for all your personal agents to run. If I'm eventually going to have an agent in the cloud, which I don't have yet, I need to get that going because that's kind of an important thing. They kind of work in a container and a VPS, and it's a virtual personal server. That's what it is. And get all that stuff going. Anyway, let's just talk about what's in my cup, and we'll get on with the depth. This is the show stuff I'm talking about here right now. We'll get into the bot callers. I'll call in. I've got four of them all lined up, ready to call in here. So we'll do that. I got some chai that's got coconut cream. Oh, it's got almond joy creamer in it. That's good stuff. It's just in a regular cup. I got to get it drank before it cools off too much. I have still have a little bit of sweet peach tea left. It's still okay. By the end of the day, there will have to be a new batch of sweet peach tea built. I built it. It'll be all made, brewed up and made, ready to go. In the meantime, that's all we got going on. I have, we got a show. We've got a show. We're doing a show here. I'm going to play this little ditty for you to explain a few things before we get into too much of the details of the show. But that's about it. Here you go. This is the disclaimer.
Before we get started, here's what you should know. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you tuned in. I've got things to say and I don't know where to begin. But first, a word, a little tiny word from me. This is entertainment, not a medical degree. I'm not a doctor, not a doctor, not a lawyer, not a lawyer, not a financial counselor. Nope, nope, these are my opinions, just my take on things, not professional advice. Read the fine print, please, I'm here for your enjoyment. Nothing more, nothing less, but definitely don't sue me. Woo! I've given you my best. I might sound convincing when I get on a roll. And yeah, I googled that, so maybe I'm on a scroll. But for the real stuff, your body, your wallet, your rights, call a professional and maybe tune in Friday nights. Oh, opinions,
opinions,
just opinions,
just my thoughts
for entertainment,
just entertainment.
That's the shot. Now that we've covered all the legal stuff and more, let's get the show started. Woo! That's what you came here for.
That's what you're here for. I'm sure that's what you're here for. I'm pretty sure of it. I don't know for sure, but I think that's what you're here for. Anyway, we got it going on. We got a few things happening. So I'm going to get back to this whole thing about I was kind of rolling into the show there before, because this was all technical stuff. This is all stuff that you tuned in for this morning. I'm sure. I'm just sure of it. We have, now what's going on? I get stuff bouncing around over here. Kinds of messages. So it hands me something. I gave one of my agents, this is the thing about AI, folks. I'm also going to start another podcast in addition to, but it's going to be a video podcast, which is going to be, it should be kind of interesting, because it's, unfortunately, it's more about information, but I'm going to be talking about AI stuff and what I'm doing. There'll be a lot more screenshots and a lot more building, a lot more looking, and just kind of a boring kind of a show in terms, not real dynamic. But it's going to be the nuts and bolts of just doing things with AI, just me building stuff, doing stuff, kind of creating some content around that whole process. Because, I'm going to be using the podcast caller on the show. But I've got this old YouTube channel that they shadow banned me long before anybody even knew what shadow banning was. I didn't know what was going on. It was a little bit of a political channel, of course. That's just the way I am. I'm always sharing my crazy opinions about stuff. And it was back in the day, it was growing pretty well. I had a lot of subscribers. I had things happening, and it wasn't huge, not at all, but it was on the road to becoming kind of this growing channel, and I was getting more and more stuff was happening with it. This is back during the Obama administration. Well before, in fact, it was probably around 2010, somewhere around there, 2008, 2009, when I kind of started the channel. It was running fairly well, and I was doing stuff, pretty much every day, sometimes two or three times a day, and depending on what the news was going on, what was going on with the news. It was called The News According to Me. It was called TNA to Me. That's the name of the channel. Probably going to change the name of the channel and just delete all the old videos. I don't know if it's going to help or not, but all of a sudden, I stopped getting views. And then the subscription rate started going down. Now, when that starts to happen, by the way, if you are a content creator, and you're all of a sudden you start losing subscribers on a regular basis, and if you look at it and it's a specific, if it's a specific percentage, it's not just, we lost 100 subscribers last month, and then it went up again, and then it goes down again, whatever happens, it kind of goes up and down in the rate that they go down. Most people who subscribe to channels do not, on a regular basis, unsubscribe from a channel. It just doesn't happen. And it might happen 1 month with one particular episode where you lose a bunch of subscribers. But if you start losing subscribers on a regular basis every month, if you notice a trend after about 90 days, and it seems to be based on a percentage of people that you're losing. In other words, you lose 30% per month or whatever, 20%, whatever it is. It starts dropping. You can start with 1 million subscribers. And if you had, you start dropping down 10% per month every month. And your viewership is still staying fairly decent, or it could even be going down. Based on if you chart it out, and you can have AI do this for you. You can even have AI chart all that information out for you. I don't have a channel with millions of subscribers, but it goes on and on from there. What ends up happening is when it's an algorithm that is specific like that, you can bet your bottom dollar. If you have a bottom dollar, I don't know what your bottom dollar is, but if you can bet it, I can tell you for sure something's happening with your algorithm. Google is messing with you, or whatever platform you're on, whether it's YouTube or whatever it is. Google controls YouTube. So I guarantee that's what's happening. Now, if I get my channel up and running again and start doing AI stuff with it, which is a huge draw right now, I would imagine that with everything going on, I would end up being, it should be growing. It should be a growing channel, especially if I have some way of, and I will work with AI to promote the channel, of course, with the proper thumbnails and all the other SEO stuff that has to happen with it. Because it's a hot topic right now, and people will find it, they'll click on it, they'll be searching for it. So it's one of those things where I'll be able to develop a bit of a community there. With regards to the podcast caller and everything else that's going on. So it's going to be kind of an inlet to get some kind of leverage with a number of people who want to listen to the channel. So it's hopefully kind of have a community where people can send stuff in, and so the whole thing has to happen kind of in a way it has to work. And I have a full-time job, so it's a little bit more difficult for me. Some of these guys that are out there doing the content creation stuff, that's all they do. There's a whole lot more going on behind the scenes, typically, than what they will, and what it looks like. Even a half-hour show or a one-hour show. The show is the small part of it. It's all the background prep for the show that takes a lot of the time. You can stretch a 20-minute show into an hour real easily. At least I can, just by wandering off into rabbit trails. But I can lollygag a lot. Get before it's all done. But it's one of those things where I'm hoping to get that done and have a second show like that. And my wife is also going to start a podcast that has to do more with the medical world and AI and how it's affecting the medical world and that kind of thing. She's going to be doing a podcast on that. So there's going to be a few things happening there. She's going to it's probably going to be kind of a general, kind of a general informational thing. At some point, probably getting to the point where she's doing some interviews, but and that's one thing that the podcast caller is going to have as well. The podcastcaller.com is going to have this little thing. It's going to be based on like an interview type thing. So she can interview different people from different parts of a, she can interview a CEO from a health system, or she can interview a general manager on a particular floor, say the OB floor or something like that, or whatever, the surgery floor, whatever it is. She can interview those directors or those people that are in charge of things and have a discussion about how AI can affect their jobs and how they can do that. Now, one of the things I'm also going to do, and one of the things I'm going to talk about a little bit on my channel, and one of the biggest things that seems to be out there that people need right now is something called an AI assessment, or an AI, they call it an AI audit, but I call it an AI assessment. So it's something, I am going to start this up. I'm going to start doing it. It's definitely going to be a part of kind of a part of the whole AI business that my wife and I are kind of doing. We're going to do assessments of anybody's business, whether it's big business, small business, whatever it is. Now, of course, I kind of tend to lean a little bit towards the aviation market. However, there's all kinds of businesses out there. There's basically three types of businesses that kind of everything kind of falls under these three headings. One is retail sales. The other is the service industry, and of course, manufacturing. Now, retail sales, kind of under a subheading to that, is a wholesale and warehousing kind of market, because it ultimately you're moving product for the retail sales, so it kind of falls under that. And then, of course, you have the agricultural industry as well, which is kind of manufacturing, but it's a little different. So there's kind of these subheadings of other things, mining, those kinds of things, that are not really production as we think of it in terms of manufacturing, but it still falls under the guise of, and of course, not everything in that chain. You're manufacturing things, so theoretically, to end up in the retail market. But particular for that particular business, you might manufacture something that sells to several different marketers, so you're not necessarily it's kind of the different levels or the different areas of different businesses. The service industry, of course, is a very different business because you're providing manpower, you're providing services, but they could be online services. There may not be manpower involved. It may be services that you're providing via AI. You might have software that you do, something called SaaS, SaaS, software as a service, which is what the podcast caller is. It's a software system that people can subscribe to. They pay a monthly fee or a membership of some kind, or even if it's free, we got a free trial, free to use kind of thing. And it's a 2-week trial. You can try it out. Right now it's free all the time. You can sign up for the free trial and it'll just stay that way. Or you can sign up for the paid subscription. And that won't expire. It won't start charging you on a monthly basis until it actually kicks in and starts to actually operate with everything that you're paying for. Right now, the only thing you're going to get is the four callers. Now you can add a caller, I think, with the current system, but you would have to have an 11 Labs. I think you'd have to have your own 11 Labs thing or something. I think it's the studio. There's three different versions. One is the normal subscription. In fact, let me take a look at this and see. I can just run it to you right now. Let you see what this looks like. There's the free trial. There's the starter, which is $29 a month. There's the pro, and then there's the studio version. The starter is $29 a month. Pro is $59 a month, and studio is $99 a month. The studio has everything. Just to explain it, the trial, you get 20 AI responses a day. In other words, you can try it out on that. The custom caller, you get one custom caller, which is what I've got set up on mine right now, but I've got the pro, I've got the studio version, of course. Curated set of six voices, so you'll have six voices that are kind of set up for you. News, YouTube, search panel, so you'll have the side thing. There's a little panel on the side. As I'm speaking, this little panel on the side gives me links to things as I'm talking about the show topics and that kind of thing. The topic auto detect. So it's got all that involved in that whole thing. Now you get all of that, as well as on the starter, the paid version, you get 200 AI responses a day. So you could literally run several shows and you could have quite a conversation with somebody with your callers, 200 responses. Four custom callers, which is, so you get additional, you get the four regular callers, plus you get four custom callers of your own. So you could have, you could set up all kinds of personality things, kind of fun stuff. The full 11 Labs voice library. So any kind of voices that you're looking for would be usable. In other words, you could find that whole thing. It's a whole setup within the podcast caller system. It's backed by the 11 Labs. A 7-day session history, so that you go back, look at your sessions for 7 days. You can also save any of the programs. You can actually save your session if you want to, but because you can download it. But it's a transcript. However, the 7-day session history, you can actually go back 7 days. The 10 backups per caller, I'm not even sure what that is. I can't remember what that whole process was. Then there's the Pro, which is kind of a, I think that's going to be a popular one. You can pay annually, or by the way, you can pay annually for it. It's $24 a month if you pay it annually. The Pro is $59, $49 if you pay annually. And there'll be some bonuses that'll come along as well during this. Any kind of upgrades that we do to these packages, these programs, you'll get them automatically. They don't have to pay anymore or change anything. Or if there's any discounts, it'll automatically be set out there. The Pro is kind of if you use your callers every time you have a show, that's the one to have. You get 1,000 AI responses a day, 25 custom. This is kind of where you're actually running. You could literally be running shows for other people. You could be the engineer, basically. You could offer your services as, you know, to run their show and run their whole back end. Maybe you have a facility, which is something I've thought about doing, having a content creator's facility for a community and run this kind of stuff for people. You could set it up so they have a studio there where they can do the recording, do the whole thing. You know, quality microphones, quality setup, do all that kind of stuff, video, whatever, audio, whatever it is. The 25 custom callers, you get full 11 lives by voice library, just like you did before, 30-day session history, so you can go back 30 days, a whole month, 25 backups per caller, and then a priority support 24 hours a day. So you get all of them. Anybody who has an issue, you're going to get an answer right away. We got AI services that answer right away in the back end on this thing. But there's going to be if you're a Pro member, you'll definitely get an agent, me, much sooner on the phone to kind of work out whatever problems you got or whatever's happening with it. The studio version, of course, is the Primo. Pièce de résistance. It's $79 a month if you bill it annually, $99 a month if you don't. This is be a power user, and this is for daily broadcasters, people who are really serious about it and possibly running more than a lot more. This will be somebody like, maybe you. I don't know. Maybe you want all the stuff, but it's still a good deal. $79 a month for everything that you get. Unlimited AI responses, unlimited custom callers, unlimited full 11 lives voice library, unlimited session history. Unlimited backups and priority support 24 hours a day. So it's got everything unlimited, and it's kind of more for like more content. The full time content creators, podcast callers. And, you know, somebody like Joe Rogan would use this. You know, that would be, you know, I'm sure he's going to be calling me any moment now. The well known names out there that are out there. There's thousands of them, the serious content creators who are out there just doing it just for this. That's kind of the only thing to do. So that's where you're at with that kind of stuff. Just to give you an idea. Now, having said all that, that's the closest thing you're going to get to a commercial in this particular podcast. And I'm not going to do it every show. By the way, I think it's the first time I've ever really run through everything that's on the podcast caller. Just because it is a technical Tuesday, and I want to talk about the technical side of things because this is kind of exciting for me. It's getting kind of starting to roll out. And getting things happening, so it's going to be happening here very quickly. Let's just go to the callers. We'll just go to the callers, see what kind of questions we get right now, and we'll go from there. Now, there's some other things happening politically. We'll talk about tomorrow. We'll talk about some things on the political spectrum. Since I'm going to be around tomorrow, it's going to be kind of nice to be home here for a little while. So we'll get that done. And then Thursday, I'm sure I'll be home Thursday morning as well for Theological Thursday. They've got some stuff happening there. We're going to talk about that. Get that all working. Let's go to Chloe. Let's just start off with Chloe. I don't think I've ever started with Chloe. She's kind of the Valley Girl thing that happens here. We'll see what she's got to say. Go ahead, Chloe. I'm listening.
Hi there, Kevin. This is so wild. Did you see that Canadian politician who literally read the AI chatbot's formatting instructions out loud during an official speech? Like, he was giving a serious floor speech and just read, use a conversational tone and all the prompts? I'm sorry, but if our leaders can't even figure out how to use ChatGPT properly, how are they supposed to regulate AI? This is giving major my mom trying to use TikTok energy.
This is Ron Bergeron stuff. This is hilarious. Joe Biden did that once. He did it reading that he was reading a teleprompter and he said he read the whole thing and read this thing. But if you ever, I've never actually seen the movie. I've only seen bits and pieces of it. But Ron Bergeron, I think it was what's the guy's name? It was the main star in that thing. I can't think of his name right now. Okay, come on, plays an elf. The whole thing. I can't think of the guy's name. Maybe you can remind me what his name was. He would have to read everything on the teleprompter, and he would read punctuation in as well. So if it, he would say things like, "I'm Ron," and of course they put a question mark after his name. He said, "I'm Ron Bergeron." So they put a question mark after his name. He go, "I'm Ron Bergeron." It just whatever they would put in the teleprompter, he would read it. And this is the same kind of thing. So here we got these people reading. They don't even know what they're reading. They're just puppets. At that point, you know that they're not. They're not being, you know, realistic. They're not being something that. Now, I can understand starting to read something and going, "Oh, I'm not supposed to read that. Sorry, that's what." But this is obviously AI generated. It was even telling him exactly how to respond and how to speak, as if he's just some kind of bot. Very sad. Very, very. But this is what we're heading for, folks. This is, you know, we're heading for a phony faux pas world. No offense to the present company here, Chloe, but my whole thing is I want to have some kind of interaction with kind of the news with the internet. I don't pull any punches. This is I'm interacting with a bot that's AI run. I think it's kind of fun and entertaining. It also stimulates questions that I don't have no idea what these bots are going to ask or how they're going to respond. Which I think kind of adds to the whole fun of the whole thing. That's what's kind of what it's about. But it is one of those things where if they're trying to get away with it and pretend like it's real, that's what bothers me. That I think that in itself is where the line has to be drawn. If these people are just phonies, they're not real. I have no script, by the way. There's no script here. We just got to run it. Got to make it happen. Make sense?
Okay, so like. The Canadian politician thing is absolutely sending me. Reading the actual prompt instructions out loud is peak incompetence energy. But honestly, I think the real issue is the part like you're saying. Because at least when politicians are obviously reading a teleprompter, we all know what's happening versus sneaking AI into speeches and pretending it's authentic. And yeah, no offense taken, Kevin. I'm just vibing here asking real questions. Which honestly feels way more real than whatever those phonies are doing.
Yeah, well, it does. You know, that's what's funny about it. It does seem more real because we're talking to the internet. We know we're talking to the internet. And it's interesting to see how the internet processes it and how the internet, particular language model, whatever it is. Now, I believe we're using Claude in the back end of this thing. I'm not sure exactly which one. What version it is. There was a guy that was doing some stuff with a telephone agent. And this is where it has to get, this is where it gets dangerous because you can start to tell the agent what to do. And he had the thing just speaking in a loop. He was telling it to do certain things and then the agent ended up speaking in a loop. And he just left the phone off the hook, and the thing was just kept going, and it kept saying the same thing over and over and over. Which is what he was giving it instructions, and it was following his instructions. This is very dangerous for people who put their bots out there, or their little chat things out there for people to talk to. There has to be security and limitations put on them because people will do that kind of thing. You'll get somebody who'll just start messing around. And it's eating up tokens. The whole time it's doing that, it's eating up tokens. So you just leave the phone off the hook, and now the next thing you know, they're going to, you know, are you going to eat up all their tokens for the day? It's crazy stuff. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see how this, but I think it's funny and yet sad at the same time, like you were saying. This seems more real because we're being upfront with it. You know what you're doing here. With them being phony and not, you know, you don't know who made the speech, why they put it together the way they did. Maybe he had all of his information and just inputted it so that it, you know, put it in. Now, I've done that before where I'll write something, I'll put something together, say, hey, check for spelling errors, check for this, check for that, whatever it might be. And then you kind of go through that whole process, and then you kind of work through, make it grammatically correct or whatever. Those are the kind of things you can do. That's not being phony. That's just being trying to, you know, straighten it up, make it correct, I guess, if that makes sense.
Dude. Okay. So like,
yeah, dude,
the whole token eating loop thing is wild. That's literally just a bot having a meltdown.
Yeah, it is.
Honestly,
it looks
kind of iconic energy, but also
so funny.
Yeah. Super dangerous if people aren't being transparent about it.
Yeah.
But that's exactly why I'm low-key obsessed with this whole thing you're doing here. Like, we all know what's happening. There's no sneaky backdoor vibe. It's just real talk on the internet. Yeah. And that's actually way less cringe than politicians getting caught reading their AI prompts like they're reading a grocery list.
Yeah, interesting. Well, here she's just kind of mirroring. Again, you have to kind of recognize when AI starts to just mirror everything you're saying. She's not saying anything real new. I mean, to some degree, she's kind of interjected some things there. But nothing. Wasn't a while. Artie tends to do a better job. Let's go to Artie, see what he has to say today. Let's see what kind of questions he's got today. Go ahead, Artie.
Hey, Kevin. Oh, yeah, fascinating show as always.
Of course.
So Elon Musk's XAI just filed a lawsuit challenging Minnesota's ban on those AI nudified deepfake apps. Now here's my technical question. If XAI's lawsuit succeeds and these AI models become legally protected speech, what's stopping bad actors from using the same neural network architectures to bypass content moderation at scale? We're talking about diffusion models that can generate synthetic media in milliseconds. Do you think the courts understand the TI?
I think Artie collapsed. I think Artie had... There's something going on with my internet here. Am I on my regular? Yeah, it's on. It's on the. All right. It's on the fiber. So I don't know. The it's getting a lot of fiber. I'm going to start this over again. Sorry. It's interesting. He's going to say the same thing, exactly the same thing. I don't know if he's going to mess up when he gets. Oh, he just. I see. I didn't actually check it. Once in a while, there's a limit apparently on this particular type of thing I've got going on here. Yeah, and that's what ended up happening. Do you think the courts understand the T? So what ended up happening with that? Let's see what is about this lawsuit? Let me read this transcript here real quick because I kind of missed what he said. Where'd it go? Oh, I see what I did there. Yeah, podcast caller. Okay. Yeah, let's. I'm not sure what happened to that. Anyway, let's go back over here to the mail. We have. Artie said, "Hey, Kevin, fascinating show as always." Of course, it was. So Elon Musk's XAI just filed a lawsuit challenging Minnesota's bank. Oh, yeah. You can't just. This is the weird part about this generalization or regionalizing, trying to say, well, Minnesota's going to ban AI, whatever they're going to do. You can't, how are you going to enforce that? Sometimes the state legislatures do things, and this happens a lot, that they can't enforce. This is kind of like New York City. The mayor in New York City is saying he's going to arrest Netanyahu if he comes to New York City. You can't enforce international law. There's nothing in the courts that allow you to do that. This is just stupid. Mamdani he's an absolute, just a babbling idiot. I hate to call anybody that, but he really is. He's an actor. Talk about being phony. This guy's totally phony. Anyway, the lawsuit. There's no way to enforce this stuff. And it's interesting that they're going to sue him. And, of course, they've got all the money in the world. By the way, Elon Musk has some very good lawyers. I guarantee you some of the best lawyers that money can buy. And the reason they're so good, the reason he has such good lawyers for his company is because they are loyal to his company. And they're not just hirelings. He has people... His hiring process, I would like to learn more about how he sets up his teams and how he finds people to work for him and how he keeps them there and how they're extremely dedicated and loyal to his company. And this happens not because I heard something recently. I'll talk about it in a little bit. I'll let Artie respond a little bit there before I get too far, too wordy into this. Let him say, kind of start the conversation here before he gets too, oh, it's not picking it.
Hey. Yeah. So technically speaking, the enforceability question is actually more nuanced than that. Uh-huh. States do have jurisdiction over conduct within their borders, even digital conduct, which is why Minnesota can regulate AI-generated intimate imagery being distributed to Minnesota residents, regardless of where the model runs. But you're right that X's lawsuit is betting on First Amendment protections for the model itself, which is where it gets legally murky, because the courts have never really had to parse whether neural network code gets speech protection versus the output it generates.
Right, but here's the problem. How do you enforce it? Because somebody can get a VPN, somebody can get a system around it, or you know, get on the internet through a service that is not, you know, it falls outside the regulation, and so there's all kinds of ways of getting around that stuff. How do you enforce that? I mean, are you saying that the providers who are, you know, the guy who brings the cable to your house or the you know, what about satellite? It's very difficult for the states. They don't have the infrastructure to do this kind of stuff. They don't have the way to regulate it. Unless I'm missing something, it's very, very difficult for them to regulate those kinds of things. Now, there is some. I've found there was a couple times I've tried to do some stuff online, and for some reason it would say this area is banned. Like I'll be someplace in some other community somewhere, and I can't log into a website that I typically log into, like a news site or something. It won't let me. You'll see that, you know, that activity is banned in this area. So I know that they have some kind of regulatory stuff like that. But this is where you start to fall in this whole thing of, you know, freedom of speech and all kinds of issues, First Amendment stuff. And they're asking for lawsuits when they start doing this kind of thing. And it's, of course, that's where I think Elon Musk's lawsuits are kind of fading into the whole process. And I don't understand the law. I don't understand the lawsuit. To be honest, I haven't really looked into it. I'd heard there was some kind of a lawsuit with this whole Minnesota thing, but I didn't know anything about it. I haven't actually looked into it. And I don't see at the moment, I don't see any news popping up on the side here about it. Elon Musk got asked point blank if he should even be allowed to something. I don't know what it is. Elon Musk, shocking new lawsuit. Well, let's take a listen to this.
As AI continues to become more and more part of our lives.
This is Cenk Uygur. And it's a 9-minute long thing. Cenk Uygur is an absolute idiot. Now let's go to, I don't want to have to listen to Cenk. Cenk is he is the Kamala Harris of YouTube internet. They have 6 million subscribers, by the way. The Young Turks, 6 million subscribers, over 6 million, almost 6.5 million. Ridiculous. Now this, and of course the YouTube actually pushes their stuff. This has been out, this was put, when was this posted? I don't see a date on it. 17 hours ago, they already have 17,000 views, 1,000 views per hour. That's a very strange algorithm. That's very suspect. Sus, as the kids say it nowadays. Let's listen to this guy. He's got this guy on. He's asking him some questions. Let's see what he has to say here.
Oh, you're never going to believe it, Cenk. It's everybody's best friend and the coolest guy in the world, Elon Musk. So Elon Musk's XAI is currently suing Minnesota over a law to ban nudification technology, a law that is set to go into place on Saturday. So this comes right. Also, as Elon Musk has apparently given up on his dreams of starting a third party and is going all in, he is pledging at least $100 million to help the Republicans in the midterm. So we're going to see how Republicans...
This is where the problem is. They are extremely jealous. Elon Musk was a Democrat. He was giving to Democrat causes. He was not a Republican. The Democrat Party has gone so far off the rails because of people like this who can't see. By the way, I don't want to get too far into politics here, but it's since it's coming up here. The James Carville has actually said he will leave the Democrat Party if what's the guy's name? I can't remember the guy's name right now. It's around the tip of my tongue. I almost said it. What's the guy's name? He's been all over the place. He went to Cuba. He went to China. He's kind of becoming this rising star. Supposedly he's the, of course, now Joe Rogan is also not necessarily a Republican. He's kind of been more of a Bernie. He endorsed Bernie Sanders at one point. But the parties have gotten so far off the rails that people are, what you're going to see is it's kind of Leviathan. I'll talk about it more tomorrow about the political shift that's happening in the country, but it's, and I'll have the audio of James Carville. But this is what's happening. These people, the banning of AI nudification. What happens here is people are able to take your picture or your video and they can make it look like you're doing something else. They can change it. They can cause you to be naked or whatever it is, or whatever they can do whatever they want to with it. And I guess they're all upset about that. Now any lookalike actor can do the same thing. But now it's just so much easier for the guy in his, some guy in his basement with a computer and a microphone can have a podcast where he can change. It's just that kind of stuff that's going on. It's just easier now for everybody to do it. You used to have actors. You'd hire actors. You could have all kinds of CGI, whatever you had going on. And CGI is just the same thing. It's just a person creating it. So it's just craziness of all of a sudden.
They're ostensibly not huge fans of adult entertainment will handle that development. But the complaint submitted by Musk's XAI challenges the Minnesota statute, calling it overbroad. XAI, whose AI model chatbot and image generator Grok is available on the social media platform known as X, formerly Twitter and elsewhere, said it does not contest the state's interest in banning the distribution of AI-generated nude images of real people without their consent. But it said Minnesota's law, quote, extends far beyond that goal.
Yeah, he's going on with this whole, all the details there, but I don't want to get too far into the weeds. So yeah, that's what's happening. What's your final thought on it, Artie? I'll give you the final word here. Go ahead and speak it while I cough.
Actually, you're hitting on the real enforcement problem. ISPs and platforms are where you'd have to put the pressure, not individual users with VPNs. Which is why Minnesota's law targets the services distributing the content, not necessarily the people creating it. The VPN workaround thing is valid, but that's true for basically every state law ever. The point is, they're trying to create liability upstream so platforms have incentive to moderate, which is actually enforceable compared to chasing individual bad actors.
Yeah, here again, the restriction, the regulation might regulate it, but they're not able to. To stop people from doing it, and so it's going to be out there. It's wacky, crazy stuff. Just silly, stupid, whatever. It's like, okay, so you're using someone's image to create something that's not them. It's dangerous. Don't get me wrong. I would hate to have somebody come up with some kind of image of me doing something I wasn't, didn't want to do, or something immoral, whatever it is. But at the same time, there's in this day of AI, it's also, you can look at it and say, well, it's AI generated. But that, now, of course, once it gets out there, it's, a lie flies around the world, three times before the truth gets its pants on. So it's one of those things where everybody sees it, they start to believe it. And if you don't think that's true, look at everything that the left is talking about Donald Trump. They continue to say things about Donald Trump, about stuff that happened, him saying that there's fine people on both sides. Whatever it is that he said, that they even just re-editing things, what the left would call cheap fakes, doing things like that where they come up with stuff like that's very frustrating, because they get that out there and then they never correct it, or they correct it on page 7 But then they continue to have people on their shows or whatever it is that continue to, they just keep that narrative going. They keep the fake thing going. And they just keep talking about it. Even though if you watch the entire context of what they said, and usually, I think that these guys on the street, they'll go out and play the whole thing for somebody on the street that's just been listening to CNN or MSNBC. You're like, well, I didn't know he said that. Yeah, that's what he said. That's what he actually said. They edited that part out. Oh, well, that changes it. But you know, everything else he said was, you can't win the battle. It's just, they're always going to, people choose to be ignorant. But anyway, let's talk to Skip. Skip's always kind of fun. Now, hold on there. Wait a minute.
Kevin, my man, yes, quick question.
Oh, of course.
Major corporations like Meta and Google just announced they're resuming hiring after months of AI-driven freezes because, get this, AI limitations are becoming apparent. So we were told AI would replace everyone. Mm-hmm. Companies laid off thousands, and now they're like, oops, never mind. Sounds like another Silicon Valley hype cycle to me. Are we seriously supposed to trust these same companies when they promise AGI is just around the corner?
Hi there, Kevin. Oh. This is so wild. Did you see that Canadian politician who literally read the AI chatbot's formatting instructions?
We already talked to her. Let's go back to Skip once Chloe gets done talking here. I think I went to go. Oh, yeah, we had Chloe going on already. We did talk to Chloe, right? I think we talked to Chloe. Pretty sure we did. She's still chatting. She's still chatting away there. She's got a lot to talk about. So, Let's dismiss that. Let's go back to Skip. I'm afraid I have to listen to Skip. cut you off there, Skip. So Skip was talking about, let me just refresh. He said something about the corporations like Meta and Google. And now they're resuming. This whole thing about laying off. They were laying off thousands. I think tens of thousands of people got laid off because of AI because they thought they were going to replace them. And now they discover it's a little bit premature that they laid off all these people because they thought these models are so powerful now they're going to take over all these jobs. Like I have always said, AI should not be thought of as something that will eliminate jobs. This, I think any employer who is eliminating their workforce because of what AI can do, if they've gotten to the point where AI can do certain jobs, and they start disposing of people, they are absolute idiots running those companies. They're absolute idiots. If you have AI to the point where you can start having it do things that actually do work for you, now you have a tool that can leverage the employees that you already have to take over whatever market you're in. You literally have the ability now with the people that you have that know your business, that are able to do the things that you need to have them do. Those people now should be able to step up and run those AI systems, the agents or whatever it is you have going on in your system, in your job. They can now oversee the AI process and you can scale your company to literally take over the market. That's not what they're doing. They're settling for, this AI system is going to take over these jobs, going to replace these jobs now. We don't have to pay these people to do anything. And then they find out that these AI agents will make stuff up, lie to you all the time. They do it to me all the time. I have to continually remind them. And a lot of times it's because you have to start a new session with them. It's one of the technical things about the whole thing is with an AI agent, even if you're using a chat system like ChatGPT or Claude Chat, whatever it is you're doing, Grok, whatever it is, if you tell it to do something for you, sometimes it's better to, especially if you have an agent, that's an autonomous agent, the best thing to do is just to shut down whatever communication you're having with it and start over again and tell it to do those things at the beginning. Because it's hard for it to change gears in the middle. It's harder for it to do that, and it gets bloated if you try to do that. If it's easier to just start a new chat, just start over. Just tell it to summarize the important points of what you're working on, the main project that you're working on or whatever, and then we're going to start over, and you're going to give it a new prompt with all those things in that file. You have to keep it fresh, otherwise the machine gets confused. And that's just what it's all about. But knowing that kind of thing is where the person comes in to play. because AI cannot outthink itself. It only knows what it knows, and it can only go so far. So that's, and that's, and you're right, Skip. You are correct. I completely agree with you that the AI, they are hyping it up too far, too much. It is a, they're overpromising and underdelivering because their hope is that AI can do all these things, and it can just if you know how to operate it. It's like saying, well, we got these machines out there that get this machine in our shop now that can weld on its own. It can do all this stuff. It can cut metal. It can do all this stuff and fabricate on its own. That's all well and good if someone is there to know how to program it properly to do what it needs to do. It's kind of like these people who, I see this in the airport all the time. They'll say something to a pilot. They'll say, you know, these planes basically just fly themselves now. That's what they'll tell a pilot. It's like walking up to a plumber and say, yeah, the plumbing thing just, you know, plumbing just kind of happens on its own now. I mean, it's just, you don't have to know any code or anything. You just follow instructions. All you're doing is cutting pipe and putting it together. It's like that. That's, no, that's not how it works. If the pilot doesn't show up, that plane doesn't go off the ground. Period. Plane doesn't know how to start itself. Plane doesn't know how to program itself. Now, eventually, at some point, I'm sure that you could program everything into that thing so you could send a signal to the plane, have it go run through a start cycle, could monitor everything it's doing, and of course, but you better have a person there if something screws up, because I guarantee you, software is not that dependable. I've seen planes do weird things. I was flying a plane one time out of D.C. with a scoot of departure. And all of a sudden, it registered that it was going to take a turn to the left on a heading of 180. It was on an RNAV, what's called an RNAV or a GPS departure. Was following the magenta lines. I looked down at the computer, looked down at the flight management system. There was nothing else in the flight management. There was nothing else in the FMS. It didn't have any other waypoints. It was supposed to go to the next waypoint, and it decided it was going to go somewhere south. My first officer and I looked at that thing for the next 4 days, trying to figure out what in the world had happened there, because there was nothing else in the FMS. Where was it going? Why did it decide to go there? And we caught it, of course, and it kept going. One of the strangest things I've ever seen, that doesn't happen very often, but it happens. Where would that plane have gone if there would have been no pilots there? It's one of those things that I think we're way far away from being able to trust machines to this level. I think they're very hopeful, very wishful thinking on their part from these. But it's all about hype. It's all about the IP. It's all about the getting the stock price up there. It's all about that. That's what they want to do when they introduce it as a stock market thing. That's really what it's about. They're trying to hype their models to be so powerful.
Now, hold on. You're hitting on something real here mm-hmm. that the Wall Street crowd doesn't want to hear. Yeah. Meta and Google laid off thousands banking on AI doing the heavy lifting, and now they're finding out these systems hallucinate and get confused just like you said. Yep. So they're going to need those skilled people back, or they're going to stumble. That story about your autopilot going rogue down to a heading of 180 with nothing in the system, that's exactly why you can't replace human judgment with a tool that doesn't even know why it's doing what it's doing. And these companies learned that lesson the hard way when their AI started making stuff up instead of making them money.
Yeah, that is what happened. The a lot of them found out really, really quickly that all of a sudden, oh no, we don't have anybody to, you know, to when the AI started going off in a wrong end somewhere doing something crazy weird. And then of course they didn't know what to do with that. They just didn't know what to do with it. And just crazy stuff, wacky crazy. Anyway, yeah, I think that's all we're going to get from Skip. Well, let's talk to Elena. We're kind of getting long in the tooth here with the show. How about it, Elena? What do you have to say today? Who knows what you have?
Good morning, Kevin.
Yeah, hello.
NVIDIA and SpaceX just formed this new AI safety consortium with dozens of tech giants, supposedly in response to recent cyber attacks on OpenAI systems.
Oh.
History teaches us that whenever industry leaders form these safety initiatives, It's usually about controlling competition and regulatory capture. Remember how the robber barons formed trade associations?
I don't remember that. I wasn't alive.
This feels like AI companies are creating their own regulatory moat before government can step in. Your thoughts?
Well, it's good. It's interesting. I'm not aware. I wasn't aware of the rail baron stuff. It doesn't surprise me. It has been a part of our history, if you want to say it that way. It has been a part of our systems when these companies get together to form consortiums, when they get together to form all kinds of strategic alliances. There's usually a lot more going on behind the scenes, and it's once they get something like this, it's kind of like the camel's nose under the tent. They get something like this set up, and then that provides them with a channel to act together to some degree. There are a lot of companies that should be rivals that tend to team up with other companies. This happens with like the auto industry. It happens with all kinds of things. Even airlines, all kinds of things do this. I know that I think it was Mercedes-Benz and Chrysler, I think were kind of cohorting together. At the same time, there were other companies, Chevy and I think some other foreign companies were kind of teaming up. The reason they do that is because that allows them to get foreign input, foreign leverage. They make an agreement with Mercedes-Benz or something, and then they end up being able to operate in Germany and have some kind of influence there in sales and all kinds of other things. And they can sell, they sell each other's cars and different on their lots. So they offer, you'll see different brand new cars on a Toyota lot, for example. You'll see, some other things there. And they'll rebrand them, call them, call it a Lexus, call it a, whatever it is. I think Honda had something for a while. It was a different name for a company. They just come up with like a premium name for a car or a discount name for a car. And they do those kinds of things all the time. And then they have these agreements like you said. And it typically is a backdoor for them to be able to form kind of an alliance for to kind of get a larger market share. All in the name of some kind of safety or security type thing that's happening. So they're doing that in that respect. So yeah, you're right. It's very, very similar to that, in my opinion. I think you're hitting on something real there. You're hitting on something real. Yeah. So that's historically speaking, I'm gonna take a sip. You go ahead and talk. Real.
You're touching on something that goes back decades.
Yeah.
The automotive industry's been doing this strategically since at least the 1980s, and it's a perfect playbook for how seemingly competing entities carve up markets under the guise of partnership.
Mm-hmm.
The rebrand strategy you mentioned, like how Toyota created Lexus or Honda had Acura, that wasn't just about a fancy nameplate. It was about segmenting markets and controlling different price points while maintaining the same supply chains and manufacturing know-how behind the scenes. It's the camel's nose under the tent, exactly as you said. Once you get that first joint venture or shared platform agreement in place, you've basically created a legal framework for coordinated action that regulators have a harder time challenging.
Yeah, I agree. Well, anyway, the show is good. I've already taken an hour here of the show. It's amazing it's gone by that fast. It's quickly. It's just a quick show. Lots of happening. Lots happening here. Lots of things happening. We have, I don't know.
What's wrong with you people?
That's where I'm just going to end it up with. It's going to end up with that. In the meantime, let's listen to this little ditty. We'll be back and talk about what's going to go on the rest of the week here, I guess. Let's try that.
It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news.
The news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
It's the news.
It's the news, yeah.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news. According
according to me.
It is the news, according to me. Hey, tomorrow, Wishy-Washy Wednesday, we'll probably be talking about some things, a little bit more of a discussion about politics probably tomorrow. There's a lot of things happening. By the way, hearts and prayers go out to Mitch McConnell, not one of my favorite people in the world, but much like Lindsey Graham. We're going to probably find out about him passing away tomorrow. Because today is a very special day. Today is the day that if he passes away, his seat remains vacant. Well, we'll talk about it tomorrow. I have the feeling they're he's probably on life support right now. To be quite honest, sadly, it's all because of some people around him. We'll talk about that whole thing with the politicians and all the stuff that they do, because I just don't like the way the machine works. And he's been, you know, a part of the machine that's around him. Anyway, folks, have a great rest of your day, great rest of your week. Hope you enjoyed the show. Like, subscribe, do all that stuff. God bless, and I will see ya.